This morning, if you have your Bibles, and I'm sure you do, please take it and turn to the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be looking this morning at beginning a new series entitled Moments with the Master. And we're going to ask God to bless this series that's going to take us through and beyond just a bit of Easter. Easter, I think, is like 4 or 5 weeks away now, and so it's creeping up on us, and we're going to be thinking about moments with the Master for today, and especially as we enter the Easter season, and we already have a bit. So this morning, I think about this, what I call moments with the Master. I think sometimes maybe too much, but I like my meditation and the things that God brings to my mind occasionally, and I appreciated this thought this week. Would you have liked to know, you who are believers, know what you know today about Christ, He's your Savior, and to have been able to spend a few moments with Him during His earthly ministry? I think it would really be wonderful. Just to be in His presence, knowing what you know today, not realizing that you need salvation or had a specific need, but just the fact that you're with the Master and He had saved you at some point and now you're in His presence, it just seems to me it would really be a magnificent thing to experience on planet Earth. Today we're going to be looking at this series, Moments with the Master, and today we're going to be thinking about a tearful moment. We're going to read about a synagogue official. His name is Jairus. He's coming to Christ, and Christ is moving through a large crowd of people, and he's going to come to Christ with an urgent need and an urgent request. And the need was that his daughter is at the point of death, and he needs Christ to follow him, to come with him to his home and care for his little daughter who's dying. I mentioned this maybe too much, not about the text, but we do live in a sinful, terrible world. I just get weary of hearing about shootings and innocent people dying and the tragedy of life, that how things can just make a turn so quickly and it's forever there. It's just never going to be erased. It can come with a demonic, crazed individual that has gotten a gun. It can come with a car accident. It can come through the announcement of sickness to maybe especially a youngster, a child that is not going to recover unless God steps in. The Old Testament has many stories about this, and the books of the Old Testament are filled with stories of tragic moments where people had to deal with the loss or with something that just changed lives forever. And the New Testament is also found with things just exactly like that. And they're the questions that are often asked, and Christ was one of those that were asked, did the parents sin when this little boy was dying or this little girl was dying? Did the parents sin? Or was it the child himself or herself that sinned that brought about the sickness? And often the story would come that it was neither the parents, not the child or whomever. It was just for the glory of God. And maybe that's one of the hardest ones to deal with. Karen and I had a conversation this morning around a cup of coffee. And she's got a friend in Little Rock that 3 years ago had a heart transplant. And so prior to the surgery, a friend of hers, church member, I assume, asked this lady, what did you do for God to punish you like He is? I mean, can I just say this? How stupid can people get? How insensitive can people become to ask such a question? And I think when things happen that we can't figure out and we don't know the answer to, it's just sometimes it's just for the glory of God. And that's the bottom line to it. A near tragedy that the Master can turn into a triumph is what we're going to read about this morning. So, Mark chapter 5. We'll stand together if you can, and we'll read these verses. We'll begin with verse 21, and then we'll jump down after verse 24 to verse 35. When Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him. And so he stayed by the seashore. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up and on seeing him fell at his feet and implored him earnestly saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live." And he went off with him and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. Now we're going to move to verse 35. While he was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official saying, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid any longer, only believe." And he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the synagogue official and he saw a commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing. And entering in, he said to them, "Why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep." They began laughing at him. But putting them all out, he took along the child's father and mother and his own companions and entered the room where the child was. And taking the child by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha, come," which translated means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old, and immediately they were completely astounded, and he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this, and he said that something should be given her to eat. Now, isn't that a strange thing? I'm going to talk about that eating part here toward the end of this, but I think it's kind of interesting. That's not an important part of this message, but I got some other things that are. Thank you for standing. Please be seated again this morning. Tragedy, sickness, death, stuff that happens to us that will forever be etched in our minds and hearts as we just move on with life and trying to live. The first thing this morning I would like to note with you about this reading is the conversation. The conversation that's about to go on between an official in the synagogue and the Lord Jesus Christ. Mainly, the official in the synagogue is going to do much of the talking. But note that the crowd was large, and this official pushes his way through the crowd and up to the Lord Jesus Christ. And on his way to do that, and he speaks to him, there's also a woman. Now, we didn't read about her. We probably will in the days to come. But there's a woman also in the crowd that's trying to get to Jesus. And that's recorded here in verse 25 through about 34 or so. And she's trying to get to Christ also. And we just know her as a woman that has an issue of blood and that she's had this illness, this issue for years, and it was just a terrible thing. And so this official comes to Christ. He found Jesus. He stops him, and there's this conversation that begins, and it goes like this in verse 23. I implore you earnestly. My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her that she will get well and live. That's basically the conversation. Why don't you come with me to my house? We need you. My daughter is not going to live if you do not come. She is at the point of death. We have been caring for her. We've been doing everything we know to do. And if you don't come, she's going to die. Now, we've got something here that's very, I think, noteworthy in our reading. This official, this synagogue official, Jairus, he is coming to Christ. He is probably part of the Sanhedrin court. And if he was, there is nothing higher in the land for the Jew than the Sanhedrin court. But he was an official in the synagogue nevertheless. And these officials, they sat around and they talked about the scripture, and if you wanted to know something about the Old Testament scripture, they would be the ones that could tell you what the meaning of that verse or passage or whatever was or is. And so he comes, and he has already probably been debating with his friends and other officials whether or not Jesus is really the Messiah. They've been debating about what are we going to do with him. He comes in, there's miracles he performs, he leads, he moves, he does this, he does that, he teaches. But they didn't believe he was the Messiah. Maybe a healer, but not the Messiah. That's what I'm trying to say to you. And on a regular day, he would just as soon have been about 100 yards away from Christ as trying to make his way through the crowd up to where he was. But now there's something different. This synagogue official has a tragedy in his life. This official has a situation that cannot be fixed, humanly speaking. And he is pleading with Christ. And he's asking him, won't you come with me to my house? And will you not do something to heal my daughter? You are the one with the power. You are the one with the popularity. You are the one that can come and take care of our situation. Sickness doesn't care who you are, for the most part, does it? I say for the most part, it doesn't care at all. Sickness is not impressed with your power. Sickness was not impressed with this official's power. Sickness is not overwhelmed if you are popular. Sickness could care less about your prosperity. Sin and sickness can come against anyone at any time. And I note with you that there's another, we didn't read it, but there's another story inserted between the verses we read about the woman with the issue of blood. And here she was, just the absolute opposite of the official. Now, she had a tragedy. She had a need. Don't misunderstand this. But here comes the official, maybe with guards from the temple, with his popularity, his power in the land, all these things. And here's a lady just trying to reach up and touch the hem of his garment so that she might be healed. She was one that was sitting and maybe begging. She was the one living in poverty. She was the one that was sick. And she needed a touch by the Master's hand as well. And from the bottom to the top, from the very poor people to the very richest people, from all people in between, everyone needs a touch from the Master's hand. Maybe it's sickness today, but for sure they need a touch of salvation that only God can give. From the poor to the rich, from the top to the bottom, and everyone in between, everyone, whether they know it or not, needs Jesus Christ. They need Him. Isn't it something? I say this, and there could be some debate about it, but He really is the answer to every question. He really is. He is the solution to every problem. And here comes Jairus, member of the Sanhedrin, leader of the religious group, and all of them needed something and they needed to believe that Jesus Christ could do and would do what they needed. But when you are desperate, I'll tell you something, you won't care what other people think. When you have a need, you won't care what your colleagues think. When you have a desperate need that only Christ can fix, you don't care what anybody in the church thinks or sees. You just want Christ to take care of it. And here's what I'm trying to tell you. There was an urgency about Jairus. And there was an urgency in Jairus' family. And there should be an urgency today among people who may be listening in this auditorium or listening on the online. There should be an urgency if you are here and without Jesus Christ. There should be an urgency that you could die and spend eternity without Christ. But it seems like there's not much of an urgency today among people. He came pleading. He came kneeling. Did you see that? There was humility in this. He came pleading. There was persuasion. I'm trying to ask you, Christ, would you come with me? And that's the way it has to be. Would you this morning plead with Jesus Christ to save your soul? Would you this morning, in an urgent moment, ask Christ to come into your heart? You say, I don't feel any urgency about this. Then boast not about today, because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. That's what God said. And there's a day coming in which every one of us will pass from this walk of life into another one. And we'll go without Christ or with Christ. There is an urgency of the moment. He was not talking about just walking away the same way he came. I'm talking about Jairus. He was not going to leave, at least without Christ responding to him in some manner. There was the request of his heart. There was this prayer from his lips. Only you can take care of this. There was an urgency about his need here. I'm wondering, how urgent are you today about salvation? I'm wondering how urgent you are today about a need in your family. The conversation was one-sided. Jairus did all the talking. Did you notice that? Master, need you. I need you to come. And Jesus was listening. And it should be worth a great deal to know that when we cry out in forgiveness and grace and mercy, He will hear. He will listen. And He knows, and He will save. He will help bring healing to you. We cry out in our midst of our tragedy, and I'll tell you something, there is one that will hear every prayer that's prayed by the sinner and by the saint. There was this conversation. Secondly, this morning, there is a delay. It's interesting, is it not? It's written in such a way that we can't miss it, although we didn't read it. The delay. Verses 25 through 34 deals with the verses of the lady that's there that has this issue of blood. And she too is pressing through the crowd, trying to reach and touch the Lord Jesus and just the hem of His garment, and that's all she could reach. And when she does, note some things here now. And when she touches Him, He doesn't just hurry off. He doesn't just hurry away from her. And He doesn't have the mindset, I don't have time for you. Not right now. This is not a good moment. Whatever. He paused. He stopped. And He said, something has gone out of me. He stopped and asked the question, who touched me? And the disciples were really baffled, I think, at this. Because they were in this crowd and they were being bumped and pushed by people. There were those trying to get to Christ like Jairus was and like the woman. And there were those that were just there to watch and see, what are you going to do next? But there was an urgency. And his disciples were confounded, and they said, well, look, what do you mean who bumped? There's people that's bumped you for the last 15 minutes. Something like that. And he said, virtue and power has gone out of me. And he turns to her, the lady, and he talks with her. And he says to her, your faith has made you whole. Isn't that neat? Your faith has made you whole. Now, go your way in peace. Now, I don't know how long all this took. I don't know if there was more conversation that they had that's just not recorded. But let's just say there's more here than is recorded. And let's say that this incident with the lady took 15 minutes. I don't know that. But let's just say it took 15 minutes. But it delays Christ from reaching Jairus' home, whatever time that was. There was this delay. And while they were stopped, and while they were delayed, a messenger from Jairus' home comes and says these words, there's no use hurrying any longer. Your daughter has died. Words that no parent ever wants to hear. Your daughter has passed away. There's no reason for the master to come anymore. I don't know. I don't know what all the things that was going through Jairus' mind and heart represented right now. Do you think he maybe for a few minutes there or a few moments was angry with Jesus? I needed you to come with me. He stopped and visited with that lady over there. Now my daughter's dead. Is it not a little bit like it was with Mary and Martha when Lazarus had died and they had sent for him 4 days earlier? And he delayed. And when he gets to Lazarus' and Mary and Martha's home, the ladies, Martha especially, kind of jumps on him a bit. That's my term. But she says to him, if you had just been here, Lazarus would not have died. If you had just come, everything would be fine today. Why didn't you make your way here? We summoned you hours ago, days ago. And now you're, and in my term, now you're just dragging in, so to speak. Where have you been? Jesus said, well, I'm the resurrection and the life, you know. This is all found in John chapter 11. And he said, yeah, I know. In the general resurrection, he's going to be raised again. I believe that. Well, can you not believe and trust today? There's the reaction to the news of what happened to the daughter of Jairus. There's the reaction to the news of what happened to Lazarus and left his sisters there alone. And Jesus goes with the girls, the ladies, to the tomb, and he raises Lazarus. And they bring him out of the tomb, and he's wrapped up in all the grave clothes. And Jesus said, well, loose him and let him out. Let him be free. He no longer needs the grave clothes. He's got grace clothes to wear. And boy, that's a neat thought, is it not? And they loose him and they let him go. The truth of the matter is, I get one of these moments and I write these down. I probably need to. The truth of the matter is, God, and I wrote down seldom, God seems to be never early. But He is never late. He's never late. And He's seldom early. I'll go ahead and use seldom. That's what I had all week on my mind. And He's seldom early, but He is never late because He's God and He always has a plan. And that's exactly what He had here. So there's the conversation. And it was the delay getting to the house of Jairus. And that brings us to our final thought this morning. And it's just what I'm going to call the exclusion. So they arrive at the home of Jairus. And when they get there, the Bible uses this term, and it's a good one, there's this commotion going on. And eventually there's going to be the exclusion of people when they go into the room where the little girl lay dead. And boy, are they going to miss the greatest blessing that they could have ever received this side of heaven, being excluded from this. The Bible says when they arrive, there's this commotion. There's loud weeping. I get that. There's mourning. Hearts are broken. And the little girl has died. And Jesus said, well, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. Oh, yeah, right. Jesus, I'll tell you one thing. We know dead when we see dead. Now, give me just a little room here this morning. She's not sleeping in there. She is no longer sucking air into her lungs. Her chest is not rising and falling. There's no pulse. Her eyes are rolled back. Her hands can't move and her feet won't move because she's dead. Jesus, we know dead when we see dead. I say to you, she's just sleeping. Well, you'd think a word from God would be enough. But it wasn't for this bunch. Because it, and here's something that's a change here. There was a great commotion in one verse. Weeping, mourning, tears, sorrow. Now, it says, when he says she's just sleeping, now there's what? There's laughter. Now, don't misunderstand this word. It's not like there's been a funny joke told and people are laughing and they're holding their sides because they can't stop laughing. This is one of those moments in time when you laugh because things are just crazy. You ever had a conversation with somebody and the last word is this stupid smile like, I know what I'm talking about and you don't know diddly squat? I just hate that. I'm the one always getting the smirk. They laughed. Not hilariously laughing. Just, yeah, right. Yeah, I know death when I see death. No, she's just sleeping. And they laughed. And they thought they knew everything. She's not breathing. Her eyes are closed. She's not moving. She's dead. So, Jesus is going to make the difference in that occasion like he can in our occasion. And so, he now is going to exclude, in my opinion, he's going to exclude whom? I think everybody that was laughing. Don't you? I think there's a group of people here that probably needed to see a miracle that because of their smirky unbelief and their little laughter, and they were unable to see the greatest miracle that was going to take place in all of their lifetime, a little girl being raised from the dead. So he takes Peter and James and John and Jairus, and for lack of a better term, Mrs. Jairus. Her name is not mentioned here, but his wife. And the five of them go into the room where the little girl is laying. And in verse 41, I believe it is, Jesus said these words to her, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Wouldn't you like to have been there watching this? A moment with the Master. Little girl, get up. Her eyes popped open clearly. Her lungs began to take on air. Her chest is rising and falling. Her hands are moving. And her feet, they're moving too. And verse 42 says, And she did what? She got up. And here we're going back to what I said earlier. Any 12-year-old kid, boy or girl, when things are good and things are great, they want what? Something to eat. Something to eat. And she gets up and she says, you know, I'm hungry. And Jesus said, well, give her some food. Feed her. Isn't that a good way to end this? She's up and hungry. A sign that she's been healed. A sign that she's no longer dead. I'm hungry. But listen, if you've got a child who's been running a fever of 103 or 4 or 5, and all of a sudden it's broken and they're hungry, don't you rejoice and say, thank you, God. Amen. That's what's going on here. Thank you, Lord. The presence of Jesus. Listen, the presence of Jesus makes all the difference in everything. It made the difference in Jairus' home and his daughter, and it made all the difference in the woman who had the issue of blood. Amen. It sure did. Amen. And praise God for that. Here was a rich man that could not take care of his need at the time. An official in the synagogue. But there's one thing for sure. Jesus could. And Jesus did. And it was just a moment with the Master that made all the difference. Have you spent a moment with the Master? A moment that made your heart and a moment where you were earnestly seeking, God, I am not going to make it out of this world alive without you. I need you as my Savior. The urgency of the moment, you see. Only a moment with the Master. But I will add to this in conclusion. And oh, man, what a moment that was. You know what? I've told you this. And I didn't know it then. I was 8 when I spent my moment with the Master. But I look back on it now, and I think, oh man, what a moment it was for me to have come into the presence of God. Is Jesus now my Savior? I didn't realize how important it was then, but I sure do now. A moment with the Master. From that moment on, don't you think Jairus didn't have a problem saying, you see that here he is right over there. That's the Messiah. There was a day earlier or two when he was debating that. That's the Messiah. That's the healer. That's the Savior. You know what he did for me? He raised my little dead daughter back to life. And there is someone here this morning that he can give eternal life to. If you urgently seek Him today before it's everlasting too late. Man, can you imagine? Just a moment with the Master. What a moment. Let's stand together. Father, this morning, I want to thank you for the joy of worship and the privilege of being here today in your presence. I'd like to thank you, Lord, for all the ways that you touch lives and change people. I wonder this morning, Lord, if there is someone here that needs to spend a moment with you. A moment when there's eternity questions settled. Would you please just speak to a heart? Make this invitation time an urgent moment so that eternity will be the result eternity with you. Burden a heart, change a life. And Father, there may be those that are here that just need to spend a moment with you in the altar or there where they're standing and seated or whatever. But we want to spend that moment with you in a very special way this moment before we leave. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.